Opa! This is Wyatt's Haven and Bliss, coming from Greektown, Chicago. I'm eating at a restaurant in a house that's top of Blue Line. I have not been to Greektown before, and the good thing about Chicago and the bad thing about Chicago is that it is very segregated on the whole. So you have things like Chinatown and Greektown, which I like a lot. We can come, you can see these communities in play, and you have a small glimpse of what maybe it's like right now in Greece, where people are hanging out and have dinner, and this is the culture here of people laughing in the background and backgammon in the corner, or they just seem to be walking around and know each other as they, everyone greets everyone else with a kiss on their cheeks, and they have a little bit of an accent to their voice. But I thought I would talk a little bit about Greektown, and we talk about the Chinatown that I went to a couple weeks ago, which is on a Cermak stop in Chinatown. The Red Line, which is just south of town. I visited there, and as I showed up, there was a protest going on. And in the protest, everyone had banners, and I couldn't read them because they're all in Mandarin. But they were white signs, and a crowd of people, and a man talking in Mandarin Chinese to the whole crowd, and went into the gateway. And in the gateway, you could see there was like a huge stage, and behind the gateway was all the Chinese restaurants, and everything is in Chinese and English, and most stuff I couldn't read, and everyone is Asian in this town, just like everyone is Greek here in Greektown. But that time it was really interesting to go to Chinatown because of the protest. As I walked past the crowd, and I had my camera, the man was speaking, and there's a large procession of red drums with like a tarp on the top. And they would beat the drums with these big mallets, and it was like a big pot. And they'd beat them all in a rush and mumble like bum 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 bum. And then they'd stop after, and they'd do this after everything that the man would say in Chinese. And they brought up a few other people. They brought up a woman who was from Poland who talked about the oppression by the party of the Communist Party, and how a lot of people had died in labor camps due to the labor parties and the different parties that are there. So, pause while I eat. So I'm still at the Greek restaurant. You can hear everyone shouting and kissing each other still. And I just had a beef kebab, which I just finished after our little intermission, and it was good. And had some rice with it and a drink, and just like listening to everyone talk, and everyone seems to know everyone else here, and there's like this huge community of, you know, among the Greeks, and everybody kisses each other on both cheeks, and they pretend to kiss at least, and they're excited and comparing their tans on the warm sunny day. And the restaurant's interesting because it has like a bar, and all the walls are removed, so there's like a canopy outside, and the girls are like, let's go sit outside, and they move 10 feet over, and it's almost identically the same, but one is under a banister, a roof by the bar, and everyone seems to know each other, and it's this small little community. It's not as big and developed as the Chinatown community that I had talked about before, but it's entertaining. Still, nonetheless, like all wooden chairs and patio, and it has this like Greek sense to it. And, like, all the restaurants have Greek letters, or Zeus, or the Zorbas, the Pantheon, and Amadeus, which is, doesn't make sense to me because that's like Mozart, which is like, he was from Vienna, which is Austria, but whatever. But at the end of the street, they have stone pillars into a little gazebo made out of Grecian pillars with stone Parthenon-like ceiling to it. And everyone is just having the time. They feel like they've been here all day, every day. And it's like where they live when they're not working. And maybe they work at the same restaurant. And, you know, a lot of them are really tan. And they kind of have that Greek opa flavor to them. thinking about what they had done at the party last night. They seemed to know everything about everyone else's lives. And so it's like each of these cultures are different. You know, I'm, like I was talking about with the Chinatown, you know, how they had this huge protest and get a vignette into the culture of the surrounding area, and you watch the people, and you know, like all the policemen are lined off the streets because it's such a politically motivated idea of like a free China country that's so used to oppression over the years, when there's like religious purges where they go through and just remove other dynasties that ruled. And you know, we have no idea what the Ming dynasty was, or the different countries that were in involved in China as they came together, and when they had formed the Great Wall, and who they were, why were they running from, you know, the Huns, and you know, how did they become such a powerful individualist society where there's so much individual flavor in everyone in Greek? It just seems like I couldn't argue with anyone here, because you know, they all are just so like social and just big families, and you know, social is such a huge part of who they are, and identities can be chosen for you in China by the government, and they give you what to tell you what to say. Just to watch that protest is really interesting on the town, because there's the main strip that runs through Chinatown with the China Gate at the one end, and there was just a stage, and you know, with the loudspeakers, and at the other end of the strip there was another parade forming with banners and people with banners they carried along that said no more CCP, free China. And at first we thought that, you know, down one end maybe they were protesting, you know, against this party movement in favor of the Chinese Communist Party, and there would be some sort of violence breakout in the street, and remind me of Tiananmen Square when they had the protesters lay down before the tanks and the tanks ran over the men. But it was nothing like that. It was very organized, and it ended up being the same protest where at the end of a bunch of speaking, they opened up the street and everyone looked down and they called the other parade and they come marching through the city, and everybody just stopped to look and stare at this large group just walked and yelled, "No more CCP, free China, no more CCP, free China," over and over. And they chanted it in Mandarin first and then in English, and you know, their banner said the same thing. And it was a very like spiritual, liberating moment. And I had my camera and I took pictures and I stopped to eat, and you know, as they were setting up I was eating, and like every few minutes I would rush out of the cafe to make sure I didn't miss the parade as it walked down. But you know, you could just watch the expressions of people. It was like the idea of protesting against the Chinese government seems such like a thing. And I remember, you know, Nixon went into China for the first time, and before that there was like no penetration by, you know, any of the third world or the first world of the Western world, and you know, we were the enemy. But now so many good things have been done in China, and like how much of their government influences all our products and things. Oh, it looks like a motorcycle on the street is taking over, and more people are joining in, and this huge like party, and like it seems like everyone here knows everyone else, and at some time, and I really like the community. But so I stood in the middle of this empty street, like everyone was like had cleared the street on their own volition to be out of the way of this party, and it's almost like this unspoken barrier where no one could enter it. And I'm back to talking about the Chinese Communist Party protest in Chinatown. And I just stood in the middle looking down one way and seeing this like the street at one end, and with the having the parade, and at the other end just the protesters like calling them forward, and then the glorious moment when they waved, "Come, you know, no more CCP, free China," and they say it with such enthusiasm, and then they come down beating the drums. This like 1,000 people march through the street with the banner leading and the drum percussion chorus afterwards, and the drummers, they'd all beat their drums together, and they'd hit the drum, and then they'd hold their mouth up to the right, and then they would lunge hit the drum and then lunge to the left, and they would do this drum roll. It was like a special cadence that maybe had some sort of significance to China or freedom or something. I have no idea. Like, all of the cultural icons could be there, but just to see it all thrown together without anyone explaining it, which is a very interesting and wonderful experience. You know, I really love culture and traveling throughout the world, and, you know, last fall, and thank you. Interrupted by the waitress. I'm at the Nine Muses at 315 Halstead, which is an okay Greek restaurant. But I think I'm going to start walking back to the station now, just so that you can maybe hear me a little bit better and not confuse you so much.
Hi.
And I'm out on the street, walking back down the street past the Parthenon and this Greek cigar place. And it's actually quiet a Sunday afternoon in China town and in Greek town and all these little towns around here and around the loop. Indeed, like, I can see the Sears Tower to my left now, and this is just like the staple of Chicago, because, you know, wherever I am, I can see the Sears Tower and all these little communities like Greek town and Chinatown are just tied together by the fact that these skyscrapers are looming in the background and remind me of where I am and how they're all linked together. And, you know, it's one of the few times you can say I love segregation for someone who really is such an advocate of culture and diversity that I try to be. Just because that if I didn't have faith in Jesus Christ could save me being a Gentile, then, you know, what hope would I have? So I'm on Van Buren in Halstead, walking back to the Blue Line subway, waiting for the light to change. So the whole experience of Chinatown was interesting. So the drummers came through, and at the end of the street, they all stopped together and did their drum for the last rally, and then they continued marching down, I think it was Cermak, towards the rest of the city, which I didn't visit. And then I headed back, and, you know, I love how close these are. So I'm walking now towards the Blue Line and try not to accidentally hail a cab as I block the light with my hand from the sun, it looks almost to the south of here. Like, I love how there's cabs everywhere. It's definitely the epitome of planes, trains, and automobiles, and buses, to add that post-quota in. You know, it has its own common denominators throughout the city. I'm looking at a White Hen convenience store, which is like a little small ghetto party store that's on every corner around here. I kind of hoped it would be like a chicken stand at first. But the buses and the things, and this is all like ties together. And, you know, I love the subway. It's just the convenience of it. And you can just hop on the L at any time, and suddenly you're zoomed away in some other part of the city. And just like watching them go by, it's kind of like a glorious thing just to see the subway like pulling up very quickly, and here comes the ambulance. And there goes the medic, the ambulance. And I'm back. As the ambulance has passed by, but as I was talking about the subway, I've always loved the subways, how fast they are, and it's really unique about Chicago because the subways are elevated above the ground because they're done afterwards. It seems like it'd be somewhere in like San Francisco you'd see that, but there's no kind of earthquakes or, like, I think the only kind of disasters they have here would be like severe rains or droughts or maybe a tornado, because there are some severe thunderstorms. It's mostly just a humid, cloudy area and really cold in the winter. I'm coming up to Peoria, which leads to the Blue Line. There's several lines. There's the blue and the orange and the purple and the green and the red. And the red line is really the most popular line. It runs straight through the middle of the city, up and down, all the way down to the Dan Ryan Expressway, which is 94, far down, and all the way up to the Howard stop, which is like past Wrigleyville to the north where the Cubs are, I believe. It may even go further than that. I have to look at my maps, but that's my stop right in the middle, right after, right before the subway comes above ground, or goes above ground. Only the blue line and the red line go underground. The red line is by far the most popular. I can remember getting on the line at 11 o'clock at night and still have to stand because there are so many people on it. And, you know, but like downtown, they came back and they built it afterwards, and they still need a lot of lines because the subway only runs away from the city. It's like a spider legs, and, you know, around the loop, you can circle it, but if you want to go from, you know, O'Hara to Howard, you have to go down the blue line all the way from the airport to the loop and then switch and then come back up to Howard. There's no really connection that goes around the outer limits of the city. But the subway's always been fascinating and glorious to me, just how quickly it is. And this reminds me of, you know, New York, or which had a great subway, which is silver, also silver cars like this, and they're all covered with advertisements. Like here we have the, I like to call these the L pods because there's so many iPod logos on them. In addition to the elevated subway system, which is elevated from all the lines except for the blue line and the red line as it crosses through the center of the Chicago Loop. The Chicago is divided up in several parts. We have the Loop is where the Sears Tower and all the business districts are, the stocks and the mountains. To the north we have things like the Hancock Building and, you know, they all run along the Lake Michigan waterfront. And I'm gonna pause for a second as I figure out how to get on the line. And I'm back, and I'm now in the subway, walking down the stairs of the blue line. The blue line runs right in the middle of the freeway. I'm sure it connects with the red line too. I'm probably on the Stevenson Freeway, which is probably 294. I have to look at my maps. But there's other trains that are pretty common. I ride the Metro to work, and the Metro is a larger train, and it goes further than the L does, which is very convenient for me because, you know, it goes all the way to Libertyville, where Motorola is located. And I was riding that every day, but that can be 2 hours. But there's a good advantage of the Metro is it tends to be on time, and, you know, it is air conditioned, and you can just sit back and relax. And as I just think about how horrible traffic is, you can hear them right now. This is Sunday afternoon, and I'm by the freeway, and it's still, like, on the verge of rubberneck. And I like to joke about Chicago because, you know, there's traffic jams at 11 o'clock at night during the week. And, you know, why? What for? Like, what purpose is there so many people, like, driving? And, you know, it was my dream to live down here and live down on the Loop or live down on the north side, just ride the subways and not have a car. But I haven't been able to realize that yet because, unfortunately, Motorola is too far away. And it's such a wonderful job for me to want to leave it. So for now, I am doing what I am and living in two places. I have my apartment on LaSalle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this blue line back into the city, and then I'll transfer to the red line and go back up to Rush Street, which is another area of the city that's semi-diverse. This section is in a cultural center, but it's more of a center of nightlife, where you have all your clubs and nightlife, like live music and fancy restaurants. And it's pretty much, if you are like any high society kind of chap and you really want to impress your girl, you bring the really beautiful girls down to Rush Street, and you have your really lavish car, the luxury Lexus, Porsche, Bentley, Ferrari, that, you know, bumper to bumper on the street outside like Hugo's Frog Bar, or, you know, any of these hotels that are really popular. The Forest Park blue line is passing to the south on the left because there's a split blue line. Mine should be coming along anytime now. They run every 10 minutes. But the Rush Tree is really good. I'd love to go to the Back Room or the Blues Chicago to get some good like live jazz or live blues, and you know, or sometimes I go hit up an Irish pub and with a friend and just kind of hang out. And I don't know, the Irish pub has always had something kind of significant to me because of my time that I had spent in Dublin and visiting Belfast and trying to understand why there's such a feud between the Protestants and the Anglicans, and you know, what does it really matter what kind of church you go to, the fact that they would stop you in the street and ask you, are you Protestant or Anglican or Catholic? And you know, and going there and just realizing that the British had oppressed the Irish for so long and they haven't had their liberty, and then and really it wasn't anything to do with about Jesus Christ. It's all about, you know, what land we have, and you know, if you support the Anglican Church, you support England, and England is the oppressors, and Belfast in Northern Ireland, which is really the more beautiful countryside, is such a torn place because, you know, of all the bombing and the guerrilla warfare that had gone on there. And you know, there's the ceasefire Protestant Catholic line, and the large murals on the side of the walls that have, you know, depictions of militia looking men in black and white and saying, you bombed our house and killed babies for the sake of, you know, controlling us, and you know, what a tragedy that is. And you know, it's interesting to see that tied in. Chicago has a really large Irish population. I'm not sure about the Irish sector. I've seen a lot of Irish pubs, but nothing above any other normal town. I wouldn't be surprised if there is an Irish section here, because there is one for just about everyone else. But you know, the Irish are a very lively and wild group, and you know, the Mayor Daly, a very controversial mayor right now, but very popular at the same time. He's like one of the longest running mayors in the country. You know, Mayor Giuliani was very popular for New York, and you know, Daly has been a similar mayor here for a long time. And so was his father at one time, but they are Irish, and there's a huge support for the Irish community. We have another ambulance. Thank you. I turned that off for you. I remember being here on St. Paddy's Day earlier this year, flying in and spending a few days here. And they had dyed the Chicago River bright green, like food coloring, food stuff, to commemorate the patron saint, St. Patrick, which I really have no idea what kind of influence he had over Ireland. I think he was around in the 1500s. Maybe he was the one that brought Christianity to Ireland. I'm not sure, but it sounds pretty good. Éireann go bragh. The taxis are very helpful too in the city. They're just virtually everywhere. I talked to a taxi man the other day, and I'm like, well, how long do you work? And a lot of them, like, they work only at night because the traffic can get so bad. And he says, you know, I drive a cab my whole life, and you know, my kids are here, and this is what I do, and I love this city, and why would I go anywhere else? And you know, other ones are just, they don't want to talk to you at all, and they just say, what, where, when, you know, what street, that's it, and they shut the door. And the last cab I was in had digital interface where you could read about the driver by using a touch screen. They all look kind of the same though. It's kind of tough to tell which ones are going and which ones are on. They do turn their lights off when they're out of service, but they also turn them on when they're out of service because they have another passenger in them. So it's just kind of tricky. And then also they always look like police officers, you know. You never know if it's a cop. Like, did I just hail a cop, or did I just, am I dodging a taxi while I drive? Capsie, that's a nice word for it. So now I'm sitting on this median between the freeways where a lot of these subways seem to go. Driving is like the worst way to get around, and I really would hate it. Oh, here comes my train. There's just this really interesting, like, feeling of, like, anticipation as you see the trains two headlights coming towards you as it approaches, and then you can finally read the Howard or the O'Hare for this plane or this train as it comes up. And I'm going to pause as I get on the train and continue talking as I get off the transfer. So now I'm on the train. I thought I'd let you listen to the sound of the train for a minute as I travel to Jackson. Enjoy the sound. And I'll give you some commentary along the way. They're stopping at Clifton. On the outside of the subway, there's ads that you can read through the windows as it stops, and an announcer announces the stops. You can see the maps above the doors as you come close to the stop. And people look at me and wonder what I'm doing, and they talk into my iPod, and they've never seen a podcaster before, as my friend Corey said on his podcast. So I'll listen to the next stop, and then I'll pause until I transfer to the Red Line. Through the crowd, down the stairs, into the subway, please grasp the handrail, watch your step as you go down deeper. The Red Line is kind of ghetto, it's kind of scary for some of the stops because they're not well lit and it's kind of decayed, and this whole broken window form of policing that if you don't fix it, then it's the idea that no one cares and encourages this further decay of the system. And so if we fix the window ahead of time, then maybe other windows will not be broken at the same time. So now we have a long connecting catwalk through a white tube, and reminds me of London and my time in London. And as you know, the other day, London was just bombed, the subway. And you know, I had walked through similar subways to King's Cross on the Piccadilly line. And it's just really interesting to kind of relate them and see, like, the city is so similar, and you could have a very similar experience happen right here today. The last thing I'd like to talk about is buses. Buses are very plentiful throughout the city too. Unfortunately, they don't run really well on the weekend, especially Sunday, because the inner loop downtown is very quiet and no one seems to be down there after 5 o'clock during the week or on the weekends. But you know, of course, during business hours, it's shoulder to shoulder on the streets as people walk across the Chicago River on Mack and Wells and Adams and Monroe. But the buses are everywhere. It can take 35 minutes to ride the bus from downtown to the north side, where I live, from the south. But It's what you can do to get around. You can always take the taxi, but... I always get turned around in these tubes. It gets very quiet here at night. So... The buses are good. They're better than nothing, but... So in the afternoon, the loop is just tough. You gotta walk. So, the last thing I want to talk about to end this broadcast is, of course, the airports. There is a small airport in the water by downtown. I think it's Myers-Briggs or something like that. It started with M. And very controversial because Mayor Daley went in and had bulldozed and with an X right through it to shut it down because they were afraid that there would be a terrorist or maybe a plane would just crash into one of the buildings downtown. He didn't do it with permission. People were upset, but the city is crazy. And here comes the last train. O'Hare is a crazy airport as it is. That's another discussion. So I'll leave you with this, and this is Wyatt's Haven the Bliss podcast. I'm Wyatt out, and I'm getting on my train now. So visit it at www.havenofbliss.com, and I hope you enjoy the future podcasts. All right. And add me to your subscription.